Now recording.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. This is the PDP call on Monday, the 23rd of May. And on the call, we have Jeff Newman, Alex Kukuru, Paul Diaz, Wolf Ulrich Knoben, and for staff, we have Marika Koenig, Margie Malam, myself, Glenda Saint-Jerry, and Gisela Gruber-White. Thank you, Jeff. Over to you. Can I just remind everyone to say their names before speaking for transcription purposes? Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn, and welcome. I know it's Monday, the 23rd of May, and normally our meetings are on Thursday, but given our time schedule and that we want to get this report out the door before the June 9th eight days before the June 9th meeting of the council so that we could put this out for public comment. So we're trying to get this done. I see that Aubrey has joined, at least Adobe, so I'm expecting...
I joined on the phone call also, thank you.
That's right.
Great. Thank you, Aubrey. So the items on the right-hand side, what we're going to do today, and it might not be that long of a call, which is hopefully a good thing, is to really just clear up or just finish up some of the last issues that at least Marika has identified in the report, the final report that she sent out. And then, so we'll go over those issues. And then on Thursday, we are going to meet at our regularly scheduled time. We're going to discuss the final report and have a kind of a last call on the final report. So if everyone could, and we'll send this out by email as well, if you could have all of your comments in or issues in by Wednesday, close of business Wednesday, that will give us time to create a list that we can go through on the Thursday call. There shouldn't be too many issues, but you know, one thing that you need to review is the public comment review tool, which Marika has been updating as we've gone along, and that's what really addresses what comments we've gotten in from the public comment period and our response to them. So it's important to review that because obviously those that submitted comments will be focusing on the responses to their comments, and we want to make sure it accurately reflects what we've been discussing in these last couple months. So with that said, any questions on the timing? Okay, hearing none, what I want to do is I want to go back to the issue that Marika, that we discussed on the last call. Marika then sent a response, or I should say a summary email with two options. And this is on the request for an issue report template. And there were two options that Marika put on email. We got a bunch of comments back to that. Marika has then updated the, if you look at Adobe, she's tried to update the options with the comments that she's received. And so if you look at those, you have option A and option B. I believe option A is supported by Wolf, Alex, James, Allen, and Paul, I guess, has now put his name in for option A. Aubrey supports option B with those changes. And I think, you know, it would be great if we could on this call decide on one of the options. And Marika, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note that I tried to capture indeed the different comments and suggestions that people made on the list. Just to note that I do think I missed Alex's comment on, I think he had some specific suggestion in relation to evidence or proof, but I don't know if he's still supporting including that, seeing his last email. But one thing I did want to point out, that part of the reason why we're having this discussion on this specific recommendation is that a couple of comments that were submitted as part of the public comment period basically asked the question, why isn't the template mandatory or certain elements of it not mandatory? And just to point out that, you know, of course, if the option A, basically, we're still saying that it should be optional, encouraged, but still optional, while in option B, there is a requirement for certain elements to be provided. So just to make clear that, you know, those are the two different versions we're discussing. And to note as well, if indeed we're going for where most support seems to be at the moment for option A, I probably need to update then the public comment review tool to note as well that, you know, the work team did discuss it, but still feels that, you know, should be strongly encouraged but not mandatory, to reflect that, you know, we did consider whether it should be mandatory or not, but that we, you know, decided that it shouldn't be the case.
Right. So with that said, I want to open it up for comments. I'll also say that I think the but not required in the option A, I think that was added by Avery. So Avery, let me ask this question first because I know you strongly support B. If they added at the end of option A but not required, would that solve your issues with option A?
This is Aubrey. It solves half of them. It solves the point of making sure that people understand that it's not mandatory. It does not solve the point where I do agree that the at a minimum name of requester, definition of the issue, and identification and quantification of the problems to the extent feasible should be required. That should be mandatory. So while I'm very, convinced that no form should ever be mandatory because the world never fits one form, I do think that requiring certain elements is indeed reasonable, does respond to the request, and or responds to the request halfway, and also gives an indication of what should be in this form. So, although, of course, it says so further up. So, I think that's necessary for A. I still prefer B. And I think A still should go as far as B goes in saying, and if you don't use the form, what at least do you need to give? Thanks.
So, so when you say the elements, you're saying the elements are mandatory or the elements are should?
Right. That the element of name of requester, definition of issue, I'm not sure about the identification and quantification of problems to the extent feasible, but why not, should be required, whether you use the form or not.
Alan's point last week was that he was afraid that making that mandatory would provide some sort of way of either staff or whoever else is judging the information coming in or as not being sufficient and would be kind of a way to block it to say, no, we're not going to consider it until you haven't adequately defined the problem, for example.
I'm willing to drop that phrase from B. If that phrase is the problem in B, I have no problem with fine. I do think that one is the questionable part of B. But at a minimum, you have to have name of requester and definition of issue. And I think to say that is explicit. So that means that you can't just say, I want a PDP on X and not send your name or, So there's a minimum. I have no problem with dropping that phrase if that phrase is what makes B unacceptable.
So if we did in B, it said something like, afterwards, that either by completing the template included in the PDP manual or another form, must include at a minimum the name of requester and definition of the issue, and should include identification and quantification of problems to the extent feasible. What about something like that?
That's certainly fine with me, as it is a toning down of B. I don't know about the people that still don't want any of that in there, so.
All right, so I'll check it. Once I get, let me see if I can get something acceptable to you, and then I'll
work. But you just did an edit on B.
Yes.
Right, yeah, no, that edit on B would be fine for me.
Marie, you got that?
This is Marie. Yes, I think I did.
It would be the first should in that sentence, any request for an issue report, either by completing the template included in the PDP manual or in another form, must include at a minimum the name of the requester and definition of the issue, and should include identification and quantification of problems to the extent feasible. So how does everyone else feel about that in the interest of trying to come to some sort of resolution on this? How does everyone else feel about B? Paul's okay with it?
Jeff, this is Paul.
Yep, Paul.
I was just going to ask. I think, honestly, they're both pretty decent formulations. The changes you've made make it easier to read. With Aubrey's explanation, I more fully understand the distinction she was making. So I can support B now. I believe that within the group, Alan was the member who had the hardest time with it. Even with the change, I would strongly suggest, can we quickly post that to the list? because that's probably the quickest way for him to see it and make sure that he's comfortable with it, and then you're probably going to have consensus within the group.
Right. Okay, I think that's a good idea. And I noticed Alex had agreed with it as well. Wolf, is that, I don't know if you're...
Yes, Wolf speaking. So I was wondering a little bit, so, Ari's proposal, because it seemed to me option B for my English, you know, more precise with regard to some items requested or required here, so like name and so and these things. So I was wondering whether about the differences between A and B, besides these items. So I do not have a problem with option B in that respect.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I just want to note as well, I can get this out to the mailing list following this call and ask for further input, but also to note that based on our discussions today and also on the previous call, I'll need to update the template itself because we've now specified some additional criteria or elements that we might need to call out in the template so people can easily copy and paste and fill that in. So I'll do that as well for a next draft that I should be able to get out pretty soon, hopefully.
Okay, great. All right, so that hopefully puts a rest to recommendation 4. The next item on the list is the council recommendation report, 5.13. And Marika, is there a way you could pull that up or...
Yeah, hold on a second. I'll get this away and pull up the report.
Okay. Do you know what page that's on?
I'm going there now. Hold on. Starting on page 59, going into page 60.
Okay, that's preparation of the board report. And so that's what it says now is if the PDP recommendations contained in the final report are approved by the council may designate a person or group responsible for drafting a recommendations report to the board. Whoops. I scrolled too far. Okay. If feasible, the recommendations report to the board should be submitted to the board within 21 days following adoption of the final report. And the comment that staff is saying is that they wonder if that's too quick. It says the report needs to be submitted within 21 days. Elsewhere in the proposed bylaws, the recommendation report is to be approved by the GNSO Council. We're not sure how this can be done in 21 days. To address this, we would propose changing approved by to written at the direction of the GNSO Council. So, Margie?
Yeah, this is Margie. I just wanted to clarify. I wrote those comments. When I started to think of the timeline, we've got a date when the GNSO Council approves it, and then we're supposed, according to the way the report's written, you're supposed to designate, someone's supposed to write the report, and the GNSO Council is supposed to approve it, yet the report has to go to the board in 21 days. And I just didn't see how that timeline would work. So I made the suggestion at the direction of, there's obviously other ways you could address this issue, but I did think that was something we needed to focus on if you could all, think about how the timeline would work.
Yeah, so just walk this through. So I'm just reading this again here.
Okay. So the timeline, as I see it, is the council approves the report, and then we have a set date, 21 days. The board report has to go to the board, but between
right.
the date that the council approves the report, the recommendations essentially, and the board receives it, someone has to write the report and get it back to the council for approval. And so I just didn't see how that could work in 21 days. And so either we change the date or you make it a little less, a formal where the council doesn't have to approve the board report. I was just trying to find ways of accommodating, the intent. But that's that's really the issue, is that it 3 weeks seems too short for the council to say, okay, so-and-so write the report, and we have to approve it before it goes to the board.
So it doesn't, in this paragraph, say that it has to be approved by the council? Let's see, wait.
It doesn't there, but I believe it's somewhere else. As I read the whole report, maybe Marika, I don't know if you know where it is, but
yes, this is Marika. I think it's in section 7 of the actual Annex A. I'm scrolling back up there now, but if you read the note, you'll see it in there. So, trying to pull it up. So there we initially said, indeed, approved by, and I think the suggestion that Margie made is that it should read, if you look, that's at page 44, sorry. Now it says, if the PDP recommendations contained in the final report are approved by the GNSO Council, a recommendations report shall be approved by the GNSO Council for delivery to the ICANN board within 21 days following adoption of the final report. So the suggestion would be to change approved by to shall be written at the direction of the GNSO Council.
So the recommendations report is the report that goes to the board?
Correct.
Okay, that's an interesting name, since the maybe just going back and rethinking about that name, since the recommendations report, the board, the final report theory should have recommendations in it, and it makes it sound like the board report should be something different. The board report should be obviously summary and should have the recommendations in it. Anyway, let me go to, I want to think about that for a sec, too. Aubrey?
Yeah, two issues. The simple one is, or perhaps not the simple one, 21 days, especially with you guys having just moved your meetings to 4.2 weeks, may be difficult to pull off. 21 days used to match your old meeting schedule. But the other thing is, I think you have a report from a working group, but then as the managers in the process, the council takes its vote, has vote results. That vote result serves as the recommendation to the board of the disposition of the report. So, for example, you guys could report, this thing went through, you know, it did everything right, and there's strong support from all the constituency stakeholder groups in as represented in the council, and we recommend to the board, et cetera. It could be, the group went well. However, there's mixed view in the council. There is not a supermajority for it. However, here's the report with our comments. It could also go through as this report, the work was not done properly. Well, then you send it back. But the work was done properly. However, we failed to get even a majority for the report, and this is to inform the board of the work done. In a sense, the working group is making recommendations, and then the council either endorses, accepts, or rejects, but I still think you're passing it on to the board, just the recommendation is different, and the comments attached to it are different. But I don't think you say, well, we either recommend it or we bury it. So I think that there is a council recommendation at the end of a PDP, and it might be, we did the work, we think it's rubbish, and we're informing you of that. Thanks.
Okay, I think that makes sense to me. That does make sense to me. Margie?
This is Margie. I was trying to I was looking at the recommendation report as something different, and I thought the genesis of it was that if you look at the, for example, the staff reports that are written regarding a particular policy recommendation, I thought that under this new PDP that the thought was that those kinds of reports are more appropriately written, by the council or by, I guess, the drafting team or work group that gets put together when the PDP is underway. So I saw the report as much more than that, But what Aubrey says is probably correct in the sense that if you leave the drafting of that report to the work group and it becomes part of the final report, then the report from the council only really points out differences, I guess, you know, and as to why something was not adopted or you know, if there's some tweaks to the recommendations themselves. So a lot of the work can be done, I guess. My point is a lot of the work can be done early on, and what happens after the council vote is something that just really explains why the full recommendation wasn't approved, if it was, or some cursory statement that the full recommendation was approved.
Given the current dynamics of the council now, it's my guess that the council will want to approve the report. It could just be the environment now, but it's definitely something where I don't think this council wants anything to go to the board without at least having to put an eye on it and to make sure that it's consistent with what has been decided. So I'm not sure written at the direction of the GMSO council is going to be, it's going to be okay. I mean, just if anyone disagrees with me, let me know. But even recently, what's been going on the list, I'm not sure we're going to be comfortable with written at the direction of the GMSO council as opposed to approved. But then if that means that we have to change the time frame, then we have to change the time frame. Marika?
Yeah, it isn't, Rick. That was going to suggest. Indeed, if people don't feel comfortable changing it to, you know, the direction of, then the only option is to change the timing. And maybe there we can, I think we've said it in other circumstances where, you know, maybe we have to indeed say 30 days looking at the new schedule, but just basically saying, like, you know, preferably or by 30 days, unless there's a reason not to do so and build in some margin. But I agree there. I think we have to be, you know, if writing these reports is going to be very controversial, then even 30 days is not going to be enough. But there again, I would see these reports as well. And instead of just forwarding the final report, I guess what the council would, you know, would maybe want to do is just take out those recommendations, as those are the specific items the board would act upon, and maybe, you know, provide some further information on indeed, you know, how these were adopted or by which support level they were adopted, and have the rest of the report as a kind of background information as to, you know, how the working group actually did their work. I don't know if what kind of further information the council would provide in those cases where it's just adopting recommendation. I guess the only time where you might need more time and more explanation or rationale is where, you know, there's either disagreement in the council or different levels of support, or where the council has decided to make changes to recommendations of a working group, you know, without maybe giving them back or something like that.
Okay. Thanks, Marika. And let's see. 30 days sounds, you're right, it could be very quick, but I think we need to kind of put, I think 30 days is something we should probably put in there instead of the 21 and keep it at approved. Alex?
Yes, I was also suggesting, rather than changing previous recommendations we had already made on this report because of what you described as current dynamics, I think it's better to reconcile Marge's problem of the days by just increasing the days and moving on, so that we don't, the current dynamics could change in future and we find old problems which we were addressing and we had already resolved on other sections of this report recurring. So I was also suggesting we increase the days from 21 to a number that Margie is comfortable with. Thank you.
Okay, so let's, thanks, Alex. And Margie, would you be comfortable with 30? And I know that's kind of a pushing it, but would you be comfortable with something like that?
No, actually, I think that's still too short. My suggestion, I don't mind putting in 30 days as a, you know, as long as there's some ability to extend the date. You know how we do it with the, I'm thinking about with the issue report where it says 45 days, but whatever can be extended with this, you know, some sort of language like that. Because, you know, you just think of the timing. Staff's not writing it. Somebody's writing it. You got the council meeting, and then, you know, and then you've got the next council meeting that may be a month away or may not be a month away. And I just, you know, I hate having in the bylaws a fixed date unless, especially when it's, you know, something related to an enforceable consensus policy, unless it's really a date that can be met, you know, fairly regular, you know, I mean, it'd be unusual if it wasn't met. And so that's what would be my suggestion, is to have it be 30 days but have some clause that allows the date to be extended at the council's, you know, approval or suggestion or something like that, so that it gives leeway where appropriate.
I think I hear what you're saying, Margie, and let's all throw it out to the group. My issue is that this whole notion of a recommendations report really came out of the concept of, you know, the staff itself issuing separate board reports to the board above and beyond the final report. That was never anything that was in the original bylaws, and it was just kind of created by staff. Now, maybe out of necessity. I'm not saying whether it's necessity or not. I just have a fear that if we count 45 days or we make it any longer, it's that you're just now extending out the process from when it's actually been approved by the council. There could be a need to actually want to push it forward, and then to wait 45 days to actually create a new report on top of the final report just to send it to the board when they're probably going to then put it out for public comment. I mean, it seems to me like you're just taking something and making it impossible to get from beginning to end without huge amounts of pockets of delay. So we're kind of in a little bit of a quandary here, because there should have never been a need for anything other than the final report going to the board, but staff then decided to do board reports. Again, probably a good idea because some of them are so dense. It seems like if we could solve the problem at the working group stage and have them draft it and have council only lay upon, or maybe staff that assist council just put on top of it anything that comes out of that final vote. It seems to me that 30 days should be enough time, but let me go back to Margie on that, and then I'll go to Avery.
Again, this, I don't even think staff is writing this, right? I thought that the idea was based upon everything you said, Jeff, that you know, the staff would say, I mean, sorry, that the Genus of Council would pick a counselor to write it. I don't know. I guess it's really a question of who's really intended to be writing this report. So it's not a staff-driven delay, if you will. And I'm just, you know, worried about, you know, you've got 8 days before GNSO Council meeting, you have to have everything in. I'm trying to just find a way where you know, I agree, I don't want delays, and it's not necessarily a staff delay at all, but I'm just trying to be realistic here and trying to make it so that the bylaws can be complied with as opposed to having a risk that it can't be complied with. Anyway, maybe the date could be tied to not when the Genus of Council has to approve it, but once the Genus of Council has approved the report, when it has to go to the board. So in other words, you know, it could be a lot sooner than that, I suppose, depending upon the schedule of the Genus of Council days. But it at least tries to manage the dates better.
Okay. Aubrey?
Yeah, a couple points. Thanks, Mrs. Aubrey. First, I think that there's no way we can decide that just because the council is going to write its own report that the staff won't also be writing a report. They may be writing a report for the board on legal considerations and adoption of the recommendation, et cetera. So I think the notion that the council is going to write a report and that will obviate the ICANN staff need to submit its own report is probably a non-starter. I think we can make a lot of arguments about the transparency of said report from the staff, but I think to say that the council's going to write a report and therefore staff won't is going a step further than we could go. I mean, we could say it, but I don't think it means anything. I think that the suggestion of using the kind of language that we've used before that says, you know, the recommendation report should be submitted in time for the next council meeting unless a request for an extension with rationale is submitted instead, or some words like that, makes sense. So I think you can back off 21, 30 days and say just in time for the next council meeting. And so as the timing of council meetings changes, as the council changes it, how much time in advance they need to see text before they can act on it,
you basically say that that recommendation report needs to be available to council to review. Then, of course, council being council, it may say 1 week was not enough for us to review. We push this off another meeting, et cetera. We, you know, the things that can happen in council that contribute to council not making a decision at the first opportunity are innumerable. So I think that it makes sense if we're going to put anything in the bylaws to say that recommendation report should be ready in time for the next council meeting unless there are, et cetera, and then the right phrasing for extenuating circumstances that are, you know. And then you basically submit a motion to the council saying this report has the council approves this report being delayed until and something like that. So I'm pretty much, I think, agreeing with Margie, at least in principle. I don't know if in precision. And I think to say that we're going to stop staff from sending, you know, reports of their concerns, their issues, warnings, whatever that they see is not realistic. I think we have to see those reports, but that's a different issue entirely. Thanks.
Okay. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think if you look at Section 1, the requirement elements of a policy development process, I think there you'll see in Item G that this recommendations and final report are, you know, the recommendations report is a required step in the PDP. So it's highly unlikely that staff would even submit a staff report to the board before the recommendations are actually submitted, which, you know, according to which is currently outlaid, is part of that recommendations report. So I think the likely sequence would be, you know, the staff writes a report but only submits that once the recommendations actually reach the level of the board. And I think, you know, to Avery's point, indeed, you know, nothing prevents the staff, and I think it's actually not, you know, staff hasn't invented those reports, but they were actually requested by the board themselves. And maybe over time, you know, the board might direct staff saying, look, we get two reports, we think that's too much, you know, we want a consolidation or just receive, you know, just a recommendations report, for example. So I think the concern of that, you know, staff might be submitting separate reports and the board will just act, you know, not having seen the council report, I think it's moot if you look at the current sequence. On the language of the days, you know, I share Margie's concern. If we build this too much in stone, I think we're, you know, going to end up in a situation again where we constantly have to, you know, break the rules because the timing is not realistic. So I would support what Avery said. If we can have something, I suggested as well in the chat, something like, if possible, within 30 days or if possible, you know, before the next council meeting, noting again that, you know, if someone asks for a delay, it means that it automatically gets, you know, transmitted to the next meeting. So there's definitely this built-in possibility of having further delay than whatever time frame we're going to set here.
So I want to so the current proposal on the table is by the next council meeting, to the extent so it's by the next council meeting. The question I have, Marika, though, and to jump on something Avery as well said, yes, it's not meant to be. We understand that there's going to be a board report from that by the staff, but it was really meant to only touch on the legal issues or other issues. It was not supposed to be another summary of. Right now, from the few board reports that have been actually made public, it seems like there's a lot of effort in the report going over the summary of the issues and the outcome of a vote, the procedural posture of it. And actually, yes, it was supposed to be that this recommendations report is supposed to substitute for those items. What it's not supposed to substitute for are things like legal advice or maybe a staffing issue or resource issue or whatever else it is that's unique from ICANN staff that needs to be sent separately. But it was supposed to be essentially that the working – essentially what it's supposed to be is the executive summary of the hopefully of the working group report, and then that's, you know, that's what's supposed to be in the recommendation report, or it's not supposed to be staff rewriting another summary of the report. And I think
I can comment on that because I think at this stage, I mean, the board provides with a template of the information they want to receive. So I think that's not for us to say, oh, we're not going to provide it anymore because the Unison Council will provide it to you. So I think, and that's, you know, once we go into this process, the board at some point might say, okay, you know, we're already getting this information from a separate source, so we don't need staff to provide that information. We only want the legal analysis or, you know, whatever. But I think at this stage it's not for us to say, oh, well, we're not going to provide that information anymore. I do want to caution against that executive summary might serve that purpose, because I think if you submit the executive summary to the board, I think they'll say, oh, you know, what do we, that's not the information they want. If you look at the board reports and the information they're looking for, that's something different than what working groups provide to the council. Because the executive summary provides as well, well, we have public comments and we reviewed this and we spoke about that and this was the process. I think when the council looks at it, they just want to know, you know, what are the recommendations, what is the impact, and, you know, how did the council view those, and you know, which level of agreement were they adopted. So I think it does require some work after the working group is done for the council or whoever the council appoints to do that work to get that report in the shape that the board likes to see it in. Because otherwise, I think you'll do get this situation where the board will say, well, you know, we appreciate the council report, but it's not useful for us in the way we want to review information and act on it.
Have you shared with this group what that template looks like?
I think that template is the recent board papers you've seen. I don't know. I know they've been working on a new one. Margie, I don't know if you know, but I think it follows the different headings that you've seen in those board papers that have been published, as far as I'm aware.
Why don't we then put that in here? Because you keep saying it's what the board wants to see, but then why don't we put that in here? Why don't we say the recommendations report should include all of these items so that the working group can do it themselves, as opposed to staff? I mean, we just haven't seen it. So, and Avery's Xing it out. I'm not sure why. So let me.
Okay. Let me. I'll explain why.
Yep, Avery.
Okay. We're talking again about things that have a certain relative permanence. So obviously, bylaws change more frequently than people change their hats, and I can. I've heard that before. But bylaws and operating procedures are supposed to be fairly stable things. Each board might have variations on the template and in the information that it requires from staff. That relationship is incredibly flexible. And so any new board can say, you know, in addition to all this good stuff, we really need to know the phase of the moon when the various decisions were made. I'm being preposterous, but there are bits of information that one board could require that a previous one hadn't. And so to presuppose the format of a report between staff and the board and try and solidify that again in council procedures doesn't make sense to me. As I reiterate, these reports should be published and transparent for us all to see before the board acts on them. But other than that, to try and lock it down to any particular content, because that's today's content, again, doesn't seem to me to be a reasonable approach. Thanks.
Couldn't you just address that by saying that staff should, you know, when the board makes it known what information they want, staff should communicate that to the working group or to the council, as opposed to being inflexible on format, just putting in a communication tool. So it shouldn't be a surprise to the community as to what information the board is seeking.
It's actually in the report. I'll post it in the chat now. We do have that in the manual covered. I'll post that language in the chat so people can see that.
Sorry, so it's posted in the manual now, the information that the board wants?
We basically say staff should inform the GNSO Council from time to time of the format requested by the board.
Okay, so then that does seem to then that information should be known, and then it should be, you know, for the council or even the working group to figure out that information. And, you know, again, the whole point was to try to lessen the time it takes, provide the board the information it needs, and then not have something that's written by staff as opposed to the group that's the so-called experts on the issue, that helps with accountability and transparency. And of course, legal issues and others that are confidential should be done by staff, and communicate it directly to the board. But everything else should be kind of done in an open and transparent way, and it shouldn't be seen as a surprise. And I'll still note that most of the board reports for the issues that have gone up to the board are still not public, and that's been a problem for a number of stakeholders. So let me go. I don't remember who's first, Marika or Margie, but
Margie's first.
Okay, Margie.
Yeah, just like another thing that maybe you guys should consider is that the timing of when something goes to the board and how long it's been since the working group, you know, wrote the report, because, you know, sometimes it takes the council a while to get to a particular issue. Think about the RAP, for example. And so if the RAP group had been a PDP and written a report, a final report on something, a year or two later the council acts upon it, there might have been changed circumstances and stuff. So my only point being that because of the changing circumstances, change in time, you know, the reports might need to be more substantial that get, you know, written once the council approves something. And then again, even when the council approves something like, say, the new GTLD program and the board acts upon it, it might be a year or so later, depending upon, you know, what the issue is and what's happened. And so, hence, that's, you know, one of the areas where a lot of the staff report work comes in to kind of address changing circumstances and things that just, you know, just occurred.
Okay. So this was so if we just then, I think we still have it as approved by the council, and I think the recommendation was to make it 30 days. I think that's what it was, the recommendation. And if we could put that in, Alex, you have a comment?
Yeah, just a brief comment, Alex, here. I think as a principle, and along what Marika has just posted to the chat, I am actually comfortable with reports going all over the place, but so long as they're transparent, you know, they are accessible, they are available, rather than putting more constraints of what can go to who from when, but so long as there is that transparency, I think, to me, I would be fairly comfortable without having too much constraints, even on the format, so that the circumstances, the issues, the source, I think it's better that before the accountability than having a report which cannot go somewhere because some clause prevents the information flow within the institution. So as a principle, generally, that I'm happier with the flexibility of reports going, but so long as they are available, freely available, transparent, the principle is upheld. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. I think that's important. I mean, the transparency, the reason this is such an issue with so many, such a passionate issue for so many stakeholders is that it hasn't been transparent. It hasn't been open. If there are changed circumstances, really that should be something that the council then is made aware of so that they can address the changed circumstances, as opposed to just, I think, or the community can address the changed circumstances, as opposed to just the staff giving its opinion as to what should happen. I think that's kind of key, the openness, transparency, and an ability to respond to it if the council or community disagrees with what the assessment is. Marika?
Yeah, it doesn't work. I just want to point out as well that in 5.13, you basically said that it basically says there the GNSO Council may designate a person or group responsible for drafting a recommendations report to the board. So there, I think there is flexibility for who is going to draft that report. But like Margie said, I just want to caution to the fact that if you look at, by the time working groups submit their final report to the council in the current time, they're done. They really are. They spent 2 years in getting this report to the council, and they're not very likely to take on another task off, which might indeed, you know, be after a couple of months of time until the council had time to review the report and act on it, to actually go and write a board report. In reality, it probably will be then staff who's writing it, and I don't think many people in the working group will still have the energy or even the focus, because they've already been doing other things in the meantime, to look at that. So I think at that stage, I think it's much more likely or realistic that, you know, someone within the council would actually take it on to write such a report to reflect the council's views and discussion, because I think in the end of the day, that's what you want to have in the board report, because presumably you act on the recommendations itself, and any concerns or notes you have in regard to that is what you want to communicate to the board. So I think as it's currently written, there is flexibility on how this gets done, and I guess practice will probably demonstrate how it will actually happen. So I just want to clarify then how we're going to write it. So we're now saying 30 days. Are we going to add then the if possible, or a request needs to be submitted if it's not possible to do it within 30 days, or what kind of language does the group want to include with regards to when the report needs to be submitted?
Or what if you say instead of shall be submitted, you have should be submitted, and then you kind of just leave it at that? I mean, that's a possibility too. But let's go to Aubrey.
Yeah, I really suggest, I think the should is a good, I think should be submitted in time for consideration at the next council meeting, and not worry about how often they have council meetings or how long before something. So I would suggest, perhaps should be submitted in time for consideration at the next council meeting, and perhaps that's simple enough and open enough. Thanks.
Okay, how does everyone feel about that proposal? Margie agrees. Alex, all good. Let's see, no disagreement. Marika, can you put that in?
Yes, will do.
Okay, so I'm going to skip the flowchart for a second. The board vote and transition section. We're still waiting for ICANN Legal to give us some suggested language to convey our view. So hopefully we'll get those very shortly. Hopefully they know about the deadline. And so then we can get that. The public comment review tool we already talked about, just to review that, make sure it reflects what our discussions were, and make sure you're comfortable because, again, the public's going to be – people who submitted comments are going to be looking at that. So with that, then – we need to update the flowcharts, and we got a couple comments on the flowcharts. So first, we need to update it to make sure it's still correct. Second, we need to there were commenters that suggested that it would be helpful to include the chart in different subsections of the PDP manual, and Marika has put in a comment saying it would be helpful, but would maybe suggest to develop those once the overall PDP has been approved to avoid duplication of work. So any thoughts on that? Marika, do you want to go over it a little bit more?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just a note as well, because I think, the duplication relates to if there are any further changes in any of this, because, the council needs to consider it. There might be another public comment period. The board needs to consider it. So I think there are probably several improvements we can make to the manual to, make it more visual or go through the different steps, but I'm not sure whether it's worth the time and an investment to do that now. But maybe it's something we, specifically mentioned that as part of the final PDP manual, we foresee that there are certain graphics or flowcharts that clearly outline the process and the different steps. And also to note, I've been doing these with OmniGraph, and I'm definitely not a graphics expert. So I think someone with professional experience in that could probably do a much better job at making it look really nice and really suitable for a manual that will hopefully stay in existence for many, many years.
I think that that makes sense. But I think the first we can still do some of the. We can still revise it at least to the main chart to reflect any changes that have been since the last time.
Yes, I think there was. Yes, but that will be the idea to look at that following our discussion now, any final changes, and to update the one that's in the executive summary. And of course, it's I can copy and paste that one in the manual, but I agree, and I think we had some more detailed ones in the early stages to show the different steps. But it would take quite some time to update those and make changes, and especially if there are going to be further changes down the road, possibly. I'm not sure whether it's worth investing that time now and instead of doing it right in one go at the end of the process.
Okay. Any other comments on that? So I think we have a bunch of homework before the next call. We need to review Marika's going to put out the options again. I don't know if you've done that already. put up the what we decided on between option A and B on recommendation 4. We all need to read the full final report, including the public comment review tool, and post any issues we have to it by Wednesday so that Thursday we can put a wrap to this and send it to the council. Any questions? Marika, anything else we need to go over?
This is Marika. No, not that I'm aware. But I think I'll do, instead of putting the language separately to the mailing list, I'm hoping to make those changes that we've discussed now and on the previous call in an updated draft that I'll then circulate and just highlight that is an item that, you know, people should pay specific attention to.
I think with that one, with recommendation 4, because Alan is not on the call, if there's a way you could just call that out in the email, even if it's with the final report, just put it in the email.
Okay, yeah.
Just for Alan's sake and others that aren't on this call.
Will do.
Okay, so we are meeting again Thursday, regular time, and hopefully we'll be done for this until the Singapore meeting, and then and the council hopefully will vote on it in July, and we'll see. Or it may come back to us. So we're not quite there yet. Okay.
We have a very long tail on anything we do.
Sure, but at least we're at the tail now.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.